Hi, Sander. How are you?
That's terrific, Jill, and you?
I am well, and I am interested in just given everything at this point, and by everything I mean there's sort of a snowflake narrative versus actually functioning out there with your, you know, sleeves rolled up.
Yes.
And so what does one do when their job is on the line?
Well, first of all, I think the key thing is, it happened to me, I'm sure it happened to you as well, to know when you're in trouble, when your job is on the line. That's the thing. I mean, most of us don't even realize it. So here's some ideas from some good executive recruiters. By the way, it was written by someone I love, a great management writer from the Wall Street Journal, Sue Schellenbacher. Wall Street Journal is lucky to have you, Sue, for sure. But anyway, so in most cases, you know, it starts off with this uneasy feeling, Jill. You know, you're being left out of the meetings that you used to attend. The boss stops offering you ideas. And once friendly, your friends, colleagues, under you and above you, they kind of stop. They kind of stop speaking to you about business. There's a great quote from a woman who now is a principal of a KNH firm, a New York consulting firm in leadership development, which she organized and is now a pretty successful firm. But she talks about a layoff on her previous job when she was a division head for a retailer. She says, you know, quote, "I thought I did a great job. I ran a department and had achieved great results. I prided myself on being very dedicated and committed." And so she sometimes said she had disagreements with her boss, and her boss occasionally canceled meetings with her. But she didn't respect the supervisor enough to try and forge a closer bond. And, you know, it happened to all of us. Sadly, she realized too late that her boss placed a high value on, you know, loyalty and saw her behavior as insubordination. She should have asked her for frequent specific feedback, such as what should I do less of or what should I do more of. But, you know, she didn't. She thought she was doing a really great job. And, you know, she might have taken a few cues from her peers, who her boss happened to favor, and picked up on some of the strategies that they used, but, you know, she didn't. So it's really key, you know, misreading important external factors on the job, such as your boss's values or priorities. That's a common misstep. We just speak about it a lot. It's never about you, Jill, it's about the boss and making that boss happy. So when your manager starts ignoring you, there's a reason for it. Says another consultant, Elaine Varelas, managing partner at Keystone Partners. It's a big Boston career management consultant firm. You know, basically went through the same thing. You know, she found herself left out of important meetings, which is key. He didn't realize he hadn't understood exactly how his performance is being evaluated. And, you know, it comes, but we can talk about this forever, Jill, but it really comes back to the same thing happened to me. Do you understand what your boss's priorities are? Do you understand how loyalty is so important to her or him? No matter how good you are and how smart you are, if the loyalty is not there, he or she will find a reason to let you go. You know, one of the most common blind spots for all of us is an overinflated sense of your strengths and capabilities. It's important to have that, of course, strengths and capabilities, but it's also an awareness of your vulnerabilities, and if you're naive enough not to understand that your voice of loyalty is first, no matter what, it's not going to last very long, right? That's how things are. You know, peers are often the first to see the writing on the wall. Peers, your peers. And like many managers, people have hesitated to fire poor performers in the past, worrying that it would upset other employees. But when he finally pulls the trigger, the reaction from peers is often, "What took you so long to do it?" I've heard that before. It certainly happened to me when I was a young manager for the Strout Broadcasting Group. And I think I've told the story before. I had two bright people under me, not disciplined at all, came in late every day, came in late for meetings, and I was really rough on them for doing that. Finally, they went to my boss, who they had loyalty to him, and he had loyalty to them, and because of that, I was let go. Tough time to be let go. My former wife was pregnant with our first child, and a tough time to let go, but one of the other people finally took me aside and explained the loyalty factor, that his loyalty was to those two people under me and not to me. So anyway, a little bit about know when you're on thin ice at work, and just understand, number one, speak to your peers about what you're doing right and doing wrong, and remember, talk to your boss about the same thing. How can I do better? What else should I be doing for you? And that's a little about that, okay?
Yeah, one of my questions is: should you, if you get that terrible feeling, should you approach, and what is the best way to? If so, what is the best way to do that?
The best way to do it, if you have that feeling, is you got to sit down one on one with your boss, and if he's a little cool to you, if she has a sense of, I really have to go to my next meeting. It's time for you to start looking for another job, Jill. It's time to get out because you're done. You're not moving forward anymore. It's over.
And time spent trying to make them like you or improve your performance is not time well spent, question mark?
Well, it is. If... it depends on the person. It depends on the person. If you have the talent to make your boss look good, if you're doing, cool things, and the company benefits from you, then it pays to speak to her about what else can I be doing. Okay? If not, don't even bother. Get out.
All right, because what I'm saying is people are different emotionally, and I would almost, my word, stunted after so much time interacting with a screen and relating to a screen rather than actually having to deal with regular people on a regular basis. And so it's just a weird hybrid where it's very hard to assess how you're doing or how people are. And I've noticed that this has become more of a condition after so much interaction via screen and not via, just developing those senses when you're actually working with someone or many someones to just interact. I think it has stunted people's ability to know when it's time for them to. It has somehow affected people's ability to assess a situation. Sort of objectively.
Yeah. And I think, Jill, you know, millennials are much smarter than we were growing up. You know, we I've stuck from, you know, my first job, you know, early laboratories, became marketing head, 18 years, you know. I should have gone higher. I should have been head of it. But, you know, there were some obstacles there. I wasn't as bright as I really should have been insofar as, you know, loyalties are concerned. Of course, I had a speech impediment, too, that held me back. But I stayed there for 18 years. I should have moved when I had the sense that I wasn't going to get the big job, the GM job, but, you know, didn't. And, you know, most of us there stayed for 18 years, 16 years, 20 years until the company was acquired. Millennials understand very quickly if their boss isn't the kind of guy or gal they want to work for, they leave, period. They're out. You know, 5 jobs in 5 years. So when it comes to that, the sensibility of I really don't like working for her, they go, period. That's it. So I think in that sense, they're much smarter than we were.
And how do you judge the loyalty? I mean, yes, in that sense, there's much less commitment to sticking around someplace. But by the same token, you know, once you've trained up your fourth or fifth person, you're kind of like, no, thank you.
So, you know, the loyalty is easy to judge, obviously. You know, if your boss cancels meetings with you, okay, if her attitude towards you changes to be a little more direct, gruff, not warm, like, how you doing, how's the family, you have a sense that you're not on her right side.
And therefore, all is not right with the world.
Correct. Correct.
Thank you very much, Sandra Flom, Leader's Edge.
Have a great week, Jill.